Beginning in verse number 21. Familiar passage, a wonderful passage of Scripture. One of the more precious passages in the Gospels to tell us of our sweet Lord. And I want to share with you a thought from this passage. I've preached from it before, but not on what I'm going to preach this morning. I want to share with you something I've not considered before, and it's actually a portion or reality of some things that I've been studying in my personal life, and some things that I even shared on Wednesday night, some of what that is, and mentioned just a minute ago, some of the things from John chapter 21. I've been studying about this voice of the Lord. I've been studying about the speaking with the Savior, hearing the Lord speak. And chapter 15 of John or of Matthew shows us something special about the speaking of the Lord, something a little bit out of the ordinary that I want to share with you, that if you've not been here, you're going to get here, and you may already be here, and you certainly, if you've lived for God very long, have been here before, and I want to share with you something that I think will help you. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21, the Word of the Lord says, "Then Jesus went thence and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan came of the coast, and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word." Now, I want you to notice that. That's where we'll take our text. "But he answered her not a word." You ought to underline that, bold face it, italicize it, and highlight it in your Bible. "He answered her not a word." And the Bible says, "And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me." Oh, my. Yeah. That's where you'll find help. "But then he answered and said, It is not meet for me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered. You ought to take and underline, boldface, italicize, and highlight that. "Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. From verse 23 to verse 28, there's a great contrast that happens here. Verse 23, the Bible says, "And he answered her not a word." And in verse 28, it says, "Then Jesus answered." How about that? Oh, there's times in our lives when he answers us not a word. But I'm glad, and I'll preach on more of this as the time goes ahead. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but I got to. I'm glad there comes a time when he may seem silent for quite a long time, but thank God for when the silence breaks, and then he answers. Amen. And that's what we find in the life of this Syrophoenician woman. I mean, my friend, it is my desire to always hear the voice of the Lord. I long to hear His voice and to recognize His voice. And I did preach some on that on Wednesday evening. And I thought about those examples and accounts this week that I mentioned on Wednesday night. I mean, in 1 Kings chapter 19, after Elijah had been sitting under the juniper tree, he went then out in the wilderness and hid in a cave and was seeking the voice of the Lord. Elijah's a man that had oftentimes heard the voice of the Lord. The Lord said, "Get thee up hence," and Elijah got up. The Lord said, "Arise and go," and Elijah arose and went. How the Bible said the Lord told Elijah to go to the river, to the creek, to the brook called Cherith, "And I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there." And the Bible said, Elijah arose and went. He said, "Arise and go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman to feed thee there." Elijah arose and went. He told him to rise and go to Carmel. Elijah rose and went. The Lord never commanded him to go to the juniper tree. He never commanded him to go to the wilderness, and he never commanded him to go to the cave. But Elijah rose and went, contrary to the word of the Lord. But while he's there, he's seeking for the voice of God. And Elijah heard his voice. The Lord was not in the earthquake or the wind or in the fire, but he heard him in a still, a small voice. I mentioned this Wednesday night. I don't know if you've ever considered it or not. I wonder why his voice was still and small. I'll tell you why I think it is. Elijah had heard his voice clear, and my friend heard his voice crisp from before. But before then, he was where God told him to be, and he heard his voice crisp and clear. Now he's not where God told him to be. He's far from the Lord, and that voice is not only still and small and quiet. I believe it's faith. Amen. He had to get into quiet solitude and get away from all the racket to hear the voice of the Lord, because he was far from the Lord. Elijah heard his still small voice, and it was a definite spirit. He recognized the voice of the Lord. Then in John chapter 21, verse 7, where I mentioned a moment ago, and as the choir was singing, John, out on the Sea of Galilee, hears the Lord say, children, have you any meat? And the Bible says that he told the rest of them on the ship, he said, it is the Lord. John heard the voice from the shore as a distant sound. Sometimes we're not right next to the Lord, and it is a faint sound, but a definite spirit. A distant sound, but the voice of the Savior. And in John chapter 5 and verse 39, my friend, he tells us how to hear from the Scriptures. He said, for it's in these, thirsty, for it's in these that you know you have, or think you have, eternal life. He has come to learn these things. He said, for these are they which testify of me. And so in John 5 and 39, we hear the Lord from the Word in the direction of the Scriptures. But in our text in verse 23, there is no longer a definite spirit or even a distant sound. This woman is a Gentile dog and has not the direction of the Scriptures. And we find in verse 23, though she speaks the voice of the Lord, she encounters a deafening silence. It seems that God will not speak, and he answers her not a word. I'm preaching this morning on that, and he answered her not a word. Or you could say, when the Savior is silent. Or maybe I want to tell you what to do when it seems like God won't answer you. And I feel what to do when the Savior is silent, and he answered her not a word. What do you do when the heavens are brass? What do you do when you can't get a prayer through? What do you do when the singing of the choir doesn't move you? When you can't seem to worship the way you want? And you look at your Bible to read and it looks like blank pages. And when you don't hear from God, when you don't hear from heaven, when he is silent, what do you do? Well, I want to tell you more than anything else this morning, and that this is the thrust of the message and not point number one. This is the whole point. Don't ignore him. Don't ignore him. Don't ignore him. When it seems like he's silent, when you can't get an answer from God, when he answers not a word, don't ignore him. I remember that delay is not the same thing as denial. Amen. You ought to write that down in the margin of your Bible. That might not be in the Bible exactly that way, but it wouldn't hurt your Bible to put it in there. Amen. I remember that delay is not the same thing as denial. Just because he answered not a word does not mean he won't answer. He answered not a word in verse 23. Had she taken that as no, and went home, her daughter would have died, vexed
with the devil, but she didn't ignore him when he was silent. She stayed at his feet, and in verse 28, then answered Jesus and said, "Woo! I'm glad he will answer in due time. Delay is not denial, friend." For this woman, he did not answer no, but he required persistence of her. I'm telling you, friend, men ought always to pray and not to faint. I mean, hey, don't ignore him. Psalm 28 and verse 1 says, "Unto thee will I cry, O Lord my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit." Realize this truth this morning, that most often when God is silent, he is looking to do something more significant and more sizable than what the saint can even expect. You don't believe that? Why don't you dial up the phone and see if you can reach Mary and Martha in heaven today and ask them if that's not the way it works. When they sent for Jesus because Lazarus was sick, and he didn't show up for 4 more days. And when he got there, he'd been buried for 4 days. And they said, "If you'd just been here, my brother wouldn't have died." And they were right. But he wasn't there. He was silent, not because he was denying their petition, but he was working in them something more sizable and something more significant and something more spectacular than what they even had in mind when they began to pray. You pray and the heavens is brass. You pray and it seems like God's doing nothing. You pray and you can't get God to answer. You worship and it seems like you can't hear from heaven. But I tell you, his silence is telling you he's working something bigger than what you've asked for. Something bigger than you've anticipated. Something greater than what you've thought of. I tell you, he's got an answer and he will speak.
Amen. Hallelujah. My Lord, I wish I could get this to you the way the Lord's got it to me this week and been working it into my heart. I saw a fellow this week making pizza dough, and this don't mean nothing to you, but it will me. I saw a fellow this week making pizza dough, and he took it, he beat the fire out of that pizza dough. I mean, he'd whoop it, he'd beat it, he'd pound it with his hand and his fist, throw it up in the air, slam it down, and pound it in. And then when he pounded it, Brother Bob, he took that dough and he'd grind it like this and he'd beat it in. Oh my, no fella giving instructions on what he's doing said. What he's doing is he's working all of the ingredients. He's working all of the ingredients into that dough. I said in order for it to be thoroughly absorbed into every section of it, spread out the way it needs to be. I said he's got to beat it into it. He's got to grind it into it. He's got to work it into it. I tell you, thank God. Hey, in a half hour, 45 minutes, hour and a half, however long I breathe, I can't work it into you the way he's worked it into me. I've been up on that bar all week long. He's had me up on top of that countertop. I grind it in, work it in the ingredients. Oh, thank God. But I hope today, if nothing else, to toss out the recipe. And when you go home, I hope the Holy Ghost takes and pulls and twists. I'm not feeling needs the dough in your life. Hell, listen, friend, you know what it is to need the dough. If you're going to eat bread, you've got to need the dough. And listen, of course, if you're going to eat bread, you need dough. But needing the dough and needing dough is two different things. It's spelled K-N-N. I'm not K-N-E. Friend, you've got to need the dough. That is, it takes and beats it and grinds it. And it takes and abuses that. Hey, he takes and grinds all the ingredients in. I hope this week God takes the bread I'm trying to give to you and takes it and works it into your life and stretches it out and puts it back together and presses it down and works it into you and makes these ingredients real in your life.
Amen.
Amen. All I can do is give you the recipe. but I need the Holy Ghost to knead the dough. Oh, my. Lord, help us. I got enough preaching to do for the next 6 months this morning. Praise God for Jesus on the throne. Oh, realize the truth that when God is silent, it's not denial. Most often, He's looking to do something more significant and more sizable than what you can even expect Him to do. Oh, so I want to preach this morning on Him. He answered her not a word, but He answered her not a word. Notice this morning her adoration. In verse number 25, when He answered her not a word, I told you the thing to do is don't ignore Him. That's not a point. That is the point of the message this morning. And so everything else I'm preaching about, I've got a one-point sermon and a bunch of sub-points. Everything else has to do with that. When He answers you not a word, don't ignore Him. She didn't ignore Him. She didn't leave Him. She didn't forsake Him. Instead, she worshipped Him. In verse 25, then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. I tell you what most of us would have done. As soon as what we said, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. And He didn't even answer us a word. You most of us would have said, well, if you don't have time to fool with me, I'll just go to the house. I'm not going to stay here all day for nothing. I'll just go home. Oh, but she didn't do that. She was persistent. That's because she didn't get an answer. She didn't ignore Him. Oh, my, my. And then when He said, I'm not seeing, but for the lost house of Israel, all sheep of the house of Israel, we would have said, well, obviously He's not going to answer me. And we would have gone home. Instead, she worshipped Him. Hey, He as much as said, it's not the time right now for me to be saving the Gentiles. The prophecy is that I'll be a light to the Gentiles. But first I must be rejected by the Jews. He came unto His own received Him not. That to as many as received Him gave the power to become the sons of God. Even to them which believe on His name. I've got to be rejected by the Jews first. It's not my time yet for the Gentiles. Hey, friend, is she realized that? I'm not fit to be here. I'm not fit to worship Him. I'm not fit to glorify Him. He ought not to answer my prayer. But if He answers yes, if He answers no, if He answers not a word, I'm going to worship Him. You really want God to work in your life? Quit saying, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do that. And if you'll accomplish this, I'll accomplish that. And say, Lord, if you do nothing, if you do what I want, if you do right the opposite of what I'm asking for, I'm going to love you. I'm going to worship you. Help me out now this morning. I'm going to praise you. Lord, if you say, I stop when I want to go, I'm going to worship you. If you say no when I want to yes, I'll praise you. If you say high when I want low, if you say low when I want high, God, whatever you say, I'm going to love you anyway. It might not be the way I've asked for it. It might not even be the way I want it. So, but I still believe you. And you're still God. And I still trust you. Hallelujah. And I'm going to believe in you. And I'm going to praise you. And when it looks like everything's wrong, and you're not even doing anything about it, I'm not going to step back in the house like Martha and say He ought to have done something about it. I'm going to get at His feet like Mary. And I'm going to worship Him. That's not the way I want it, Lord. But I still want you. And I still love you. And I still worship you. My, my. Don't just worship Him when He's doing what you want Him to do, the way you want Him to do it. But when He's silent, let Him know, Lord, if you say yes, if you say no, or Lord, even if you say nothing, I love you and I'm going to worship you and I still trust you. And I don't understand what's happening to my little girl, what's happening to my family, what the devil's doing. I don't understand, Lord, what you're doing, but I'm telling you, I still love you. Trust you, and you're still my Lord. Hallelujah to God. My Lord, I feel the patient and the Holy Ghost down in my soul. I bless His name for that. When heaven is silent, worship on. Don't ignore God because it appears He says not a word. Notice, by the way, when she worshiped Him, she came in verse 25, she worshiped Him saying, Lord, help me. Woo! Notice her praise and her prayer went together. She worshiped Him and said, Lord, help me. D.L. Moody said there was a prayer with a three-link chain that connected earth to heaven. And it was simply, the three links were, Lord, help me. I tell you, you can get more done with Lord, help me, and a heart of worship than you can hours of praying with great swelling words. Amen. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. You're still my Lord. I'm still trusting you. You may not have said anything, but I still trust you. And my help still comes to me. Lord, help me. Praise and prayer. Honor and help. Worship and the work of God. Adoration and assistance from the Lord. Individual worship and the intervening work of God always go hand in hand. At midnight in the prison, what did Paul and Silas do? But they prayed and sang praises unto God. Isn't that right? This woman worshipped and prayed. Well, I'm going to tell you something this morning. You can mark it down. If you really worship God, if you really praise God, you'll start out praising and end up praying. Isn't that right? I'd listen how many times you just got in the glory. I mean dancing in the clover, friend. I mean God being real in your heart and you're worshiping the Lord. And it starts out as praise. And end up his prayer. Starts out with you telling somebody else about Jesus. And ends up with you telling Jesus about how much you love him. I mean, your praise turns into prayer. I got news for you on this end. Your prayer will turn into praise. How many times have I began saying, Lord, I love you and just want to tell you, I thank you for this day and for the privilege of prayer. And I begin to make my petition known unto him. If I never get a hold of heaven, it turns from, Lord, I need. Lord, I thank you. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I'm born again. I just want to praise everything you've done in my life. I tell you, you'll start out praying, end up praising. You'll start out praising, end up praying. It just goes hand in hand. And when God is silent, when the Savior answers not a word, don't ignore Him. Worship. I worship. Worship on. Somebody said, I don't feel like worshiping. I didn't got nothing to do with it. Worship on. Hey, that's exactly right. I'm not talking about putting on a show. I'm talking about being instant in season and out of season. I love what Gene Mathias said. A woman said to him, you shouted this morning, Brother Gene. Did God tell you you had to do that? He said, no, ma'am. I just volunteered. Amen. I tell you, you ought to make yourself available to worship the Lord. Amen. When it don't seem like everything's right, praise Him anyhow. When He says yes, when He says no, when He says maybe, when He says nothing, still worship Him.
Amen.
Amen. Oh yes. Oh yes. You may begin to pray and think you have nothing to praise God for, but as you communicate with heaven, you will discover that you were wrong. Amen. And you got plenty to praise God for.
Hey.
You don't know what's going on in my life. We don't always praise Him for what's going on in our lives. Amen. Somebody said, in everything give thanks. What the Bible said, yes. The Bible said, in everything give thanks. It didn't say for everything. It said in everything. There are some things you're not necessarily going to be thankful for, but you still got to be thankful in those things. Amen. Are you hearing my preaching this morning? Ain't nobody thankful to die until they get to the place where they just couldn't stand to live no more. But I'm telling you, they can still be thankful in the hour of death. You don't have to be thankful for everything, but you've
got to be thankful in everything. Are you hearing me preach today? You understand the distinction? We have something to praise Him for, and we don't have to praise Him necessarily about the present circumstance. Your present circumstance may be such that you can praise God for it and glorify God for the sun shining. But you may be in the midst of a storm, and if so, you may not know how or be able to praise Him for the present circumstance. But I tell you, there are other factors involved in your life that if you pray long enough, you'll realize, regardless of your present circumstance, you've still got something to praise God for.
To give you a carnal illustration that brings about a spiritual point. That's what the Bible calls a parable. In 1982, in October, at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin, that ought to sound familiar to Brother Tom, the Badgers of the University of Wisconsin football team was taking on the Michigan State Spartans in football. MSU, Michigan State University, had the better team. And they went up with a big lead on Wisconsin. They were beating them down badly in their home stadium. Still, for some cause, the 80,321 fans in attendance, suddenly, while their team was being beaten up and losing by a terrible lopsided score, began to get a buzz and a roar and a cheer all around the stadium. And everybody was cheering on, even though their team was losing badly. The excitement of the crowd roared all across the stadium. Many of you see, somebody said, how in the world they cheer? Why? The cheer when their team was losing. Many of the fans had pocket radios, and they had just gotten the news over the radio waves that miles away their Milwaukee Brewers had just taken the lead over the St. Louis Cardinals in Game 3 of the World Series. They were cheering in the stands where they were, and the present circumstance was not to their liking, but they found reason to rejoice in something other than what was going on in front of their eyes, because they got news from far away that everything was all right. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you, it goes much deeper in a football game or the World Series. But when your life seems like you're losing and you're on the bottom end of a lopsided score, I'm glad you can tune your radio into heaven frequency and get news that on the other side, in a far away country, in an unrelated matter, that everything's all right, that God is still on His throne, and your present circumstance does not have to determine your pattern of worship. I praise Him, friend. If He says yes, if He says no, if He says maybe, if He says nothing, worship on. Worship on. Worship on. Hallelujah. Well, when He says nothing, when the Savior's silent, don't ignore Him for adoration. Secondly, and I ain't got a clock back there, so I'm preaching this morning. Secondly, it didn't work at worship, I had it. Secondly, this morning, her acceptance. Notice verses 26 and 27. He said, answered and said unto her, when she worshipped Him, said, Lord, help me. He answered and said, and it is not meet for me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Now I'm going to tell you something. I never met this woman, but I like her a lot. And I'm going to tell you one reason why I like her, and one reason why I know God's going to do something for her. She knows how to accept rebuking preaching. Amen. She knows how to accept rebuking and reproving preaching. Isn't it remarkable how some folk, if the Lord had said this unto them, they'd have said, now listen, mister, I ain't hanging around here with you. Hey, you think I'm going to stay in your congregation and follow you around? I used to think a lot of you. You go to talking about, I don't have to put up with that junk out of you, buddy. I'm going to the house. Nobody's going to talk to me like I'm some sort of dog. I will not
stand for it. And if she had, she'd have gone home. And her daughter'd still been vexed with the devil. Amen. And now I've read commentators of all kinds. And commentators is like a lot of other kind of taters. Some taters is good and some taters ain't. But I'm telling you, some of these commentators would say that it is that he called her a puppy. That it was a lap dog. And not a grown dog or a mean dog or a bad dog. But I got news for you. A puppy's not a giraffe. A puppy's not a zebra. A puppy is a dog. And if he called her a puppy, if he called her a German shepherd, or if he called her a Rottweiler, if he called her a Chihuahua, it's all still a dog. Are you hearing me? And none of it is complimentary. When he said, it's not meet for me to take the children bread and cast it to dogs, he said, it's not fit for me to take bread off the table and throw it out like it's scraps. I'm here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I've got to come to them first. The Gentiles then will get what's left over after the Jews have rejected Christ. We know that is the way it's happening. We're living on it today. The crumbs that fell from the master's table. And she said, truth, Lord. She didn't get angry. She didn't get mad. She said, that's right. I am a dog. You see, this was hard, but it was true. And she didn't bristle up at it. She didn't get angry. She didn't go home. She said, truth, Lord. She agreed with his condemnation and sought his help for her condition. You're right. I am a dog. And I need help. Oh, my friend, listen. How when heaven is silent, when the Lord is silent, and the man of God preaches the word of God to you, and it seems like it's a hard word, that's not the time to bristle up and say, I won't put up with that kind of junk. I'm not going to hear that kind of preacher. He's made me angry. I'll show him. I'll not come back to church no more. I'll show that church. I'll withhold my tithes and offerings. Somebody help me out now. That's not the time to do that. That's the time to say, truth, Lord. You're right. I'm a dog. I'm not even fit to be in this congregation. Don't even deserve to be saved. But I'll just crawl up under your table and beg for the crumbs, because the crumbs will be enough to satisfy me. That'll be enough to take care of my life. I mean, it's self-preaching.
That's right. Amen.
If you bristle up at a hard word, heaven will get silent and the quietness will get quieter and quieter.
Right. Amen.
You're looking for a word from God, and the word you get is totally different than what you're looking for. And by the way, it always works like that. You think Nicodemus was expecting to hear, you must be born again? You think the rich young ruler was expecting to hear, sell all that thou hast, give it to the poor, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven? You think he was expecting to hear that? You think this woman was expecting to hear nothing and then to be called a dog? It always happens like that. You never hear what you expected to hear. God ain't working according to your expectations. And by the way, He knew what your expectations were before you ever arrived.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
You think because you look for a word from the Lord that you're going to get just what you were looking for? No, you're going to get just what you need.
Right.
It may not be what you were looking for, but it'll be what you need. I don't know how many times I've had people that come to church, God burn a message into my heart and life, and I'd preach, and I'd feel the very best that I could under unction and power of the Holy Ghost. I mean, until my face is blue, and my shirt is soaking wet with sweat, and the voice is gone, and I have somebody who come by the door, or maybe afterward, would say, you know, a lot of that stuff's just uncalled for. I just don't know why. That's just not necessary. I'm going to tell you something, friend. God don't work according to what you think is called for and what you think is necessary. Amen. Oh, Lord, I could get very, very straight with this and plain. This morning, that some have gotten angry at the Word of God. I preached on tithe, and the Sunday school teacher got up, said something about tithe, and they said, I can't believe that. Brother John's always on Brother Toby's side. It's always things like that. He's just trying to support the preacher's what it is. And they get all bristling up and upset about things. I preach on separation. I preach on living right, getting rid of things in your life. Some sin, some habits. The call to witness. And my friend, and you've gotten angry, frustrated. And maybe in something that was preached by me or some other man of God years ago that you are still having a sore spot over. I don't know how many times I have folks say, "It wasn't anything you've done recently. This has been going on for a long time." You know what that means, don't you? They bristled up at something God tried to do in them. And sometimes 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, they've been getting bitter ever since. Their heart hadn't been right with God ever since then. And that silence of heaven has gotten quieter and quieter and quieter. If you want to hear from heaven, you may have to go back, find that thing that you're bristling up about, that you're, my friend, bitter about. Address that issue, get that right with God, and then wait for God to speak. You've got to say truth, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Back recently, a few months ago, Brother John and I sat there on these pews and talked about a situation where somebody said, "Hey, nothing happened recently, but 4 years ago, there was 15 minutes of something somewhere that I wasn't satisfied with. 4 years ago, I don't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. But 4 years they've been stewing on some stupidity. Now we wonder why the same person says, 'I can't hear from God no more.'" And that's what they said. "That I'm going looking for the voice of God. 4 years ago something happened and it's just gotten to the place now where it's too much. I can't hear from God. Is it your fault? Brother Bob, is it your fault if I get angry at you and then I can't hear from God? No. I got to learn to accept it myself. Deal with my own issue. You say, heaven ain't silent because something Brother Bob's done to me."
Right.
It sure is getting silent in here. But I'm preaching exactly right. You can get bristled up. This morning at the preaching, you can get bristled up at. You can get frustrated at. You can get angry at what I've said. All I did was even mention the word tithing twice. Now there's three times. Tithing, 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 tithing. And all I did was just mention it a few times. And some of you still stewing over that from 4 or 5 minutes ago. I said the word separation. Some of you, I didn't even get even specific. And some of you automatically went to something I preached on to you 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, about some sin that's in your life that you know you ought not to be doing, and you knew then you ought to have gotten rid of, and you know now you ought to get rid of. I hadn't even called it by name, and right now it's just like I'm grinding on a sore spot. I'm telling you, it's because heaven often gets silent because we're resistant to the Word of God. You're going to have to say truth, Lord. You're going to have acceptance in your life. You're right. I'm a dog. I need help. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Oh, my friend, hey, I quit stiffening your neck. Quit rebelling against the truth. And say truth, Lord. I've got to have you in my life. Her acceptance. Number three, notice her acknowledgement. When she said truth, Lord, that's as good as saying, "I'm a dog. Everything you just said about me is right." You know what else we might call that? Confession. "You're right, Lord." That's repentance too.
That's right.
Here we find it. "Truth, Lord. Lord, help me." That's repentance, ain't it? That's turning from herself, turning to God. Her acknowledgement, "I'm a dog. You're right, I'm a dog. And I'm crying for the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Acknowledge the truth. Listen to me. No use in anybody sitting in the pews this morning thinking you're anywhere above where this lady was. I mean, acknowledge we're all flawed by the fall of sin. We're all fickle in this flesh that we live. We're followed by a fiend, a devil, a demon, my friend. Know this truth as you walk with God. My friend, and you
levels. Somebody said, I'm spiritual now. New levels equal bigger devils. I'm telling you, the higher you are with God, the stronger the opposition's going to get. Realize, my friend, and acknowledge your need of God. Acknowledge your need of the Savior. I cannot make it alone. My friend, the devil doesn't stop working at the church yard. He don't stop working in a Christian home. He doesn't stop working at the preacher's house. He's not fighting away by your serenity prayer that's on a coffee cup or a picture of the Last Supper in your living room. I tell you, you have an adversary this morning and you need an advocate. But I tell you, sure as we have an adversary, we also have an advocate. Oh, my friend, if he seems silent, don't ignore him.
Amen.
Just acknowledge it. Truth, Lord, I'm a dog and I'm crying for the crumbs that fall from the table. And finally, I'm closing with this. Notice his admonition. Verse 28. The silent Savior becomes the speaking Savior. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Now listen to me. You think that Jesus didn't know how great her faith was the minute she showed up? Before she even got there? Sure he did. But he let her test herself. And her, as well as all those around her, saw the face she had. And then the commendation that he gave unto her for her faith and her persistence. God ain't just working in you when he's working on you. He's working on you and using what he does on you and how he works on you to work in others as well.
Amen.
Amen. And he speaks and says, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee, even as thou wilt, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. His condemnation of her turns into a commendation of her. The silent treatment was over. Oh, I'm going to tell you, that's what we're looking for many times, is when he breaks the silence, is when he breaks the quietness, when the voice of Jesus comes back, when it is that Jesus answers and said, oh, we're looking for it to change from verse 23, when he answered her, not a word, to verse 28, then Jesus answered and said, oh, my friend, hey, thank God, the silent treatment's over and a considerable miracle is about to transpire. Mark chapter 7 and verse 30 says, when she got home and went in to see her daughter, that her daughter was asleep and resting comfortably on the bed. I tell you, he'll give you rest. He'll give you comfort. Comfort was brought about to her when the silence was broken.
Amen.
He'll not be silent forever. And when he speaks, it'll be worth the wait.
Hey.
Hear this phrase. The silence of the Savior may be deafening, but it is not definite.
Right.
And delay is not denial.
Amen.
It seems he is ignoring you, but that's not so. It seems that he doesn't care about your prayer, but it's not so. The devil says he's not even listening to you. See, he hasn't said a word. But the devil is a liar, and it's not so.
Amen.
The enemy had said that my faith in God was dead. And if the way was rough, he did not care. Thank the Lord, it is not true. Jesus thrills me through and through. I truly know he heard my prayer, my earnest prayer. Thank God, though the devil says his silence means that The Lord's ear is not heavy that he cannot hear. Neither is his hand shortened that he cannot say, thank God. His silence may be deafening, but it is not definite. Jesus, now the very first verse we read said how he departed from the coast in the Tyre and Sidon. Jesus left Palestine one time in his whole ministry. This time. And if you'll follow his travels, he leaves Palestine. It seems like he does nothing else particular. He runs into this woman and comes right back to Palestine. The devil will say to you, Jesus ain't nowhere around. And he don't care what's going on. And he's left everything else he's got going just to work in your life. How about that? He went out of his way for her. Oh my. I'm telling you, he went out of his way for us all. He left the throne of heaven. He became us, who was holy, harmless, separate from sinners. Oh, my friend, he became us. Took upon himself the form of a man, became obedient unto death, even to death of the cross. He became us.
Amen.
He left Palestine one time, went out of his way just to see this woman who was a dog. An idolater.
Sir.
He traveled far out of the path of the rest of his life, and he did so to stand by her side.
Now I'm going to use an illustration, and I almost never do this.
I need a Syrophoenician woman. Brother Bob, come hit me. I don't... They grew lots of hair on the faces of them Syrophoenician women up there. I don't like to embarrass the ladies. They'll get upset with you. Brother Bob loves me. He won't get upset if I embarrass him. This is the Syrophoenician woman. The Lord has gone completely out of His way. Left Palestine, traveled hundreds of miles on foot for this one woman. Think about that. And she's got to the place to where she's finally where Jesus is. And she says, Lord, help me. And He answers her not a word. And she's pulling on Him. She's pulling on Him, Brother Bob. She's pulling on Him. She's pulling on Him saying, Lord, help me. And He answers her not a word. She's worshiping Him, saying, Lord, help me. And He answers her, not a word. His disciples come and put on Him and say, Lord, send her away. She's bothering us. And He don't even look to her and say nothing. He looks at them and said, it's not meat for me to take. With her standing here as if she weren't even there. It's not meat for me to take the children's bread, give it to dogs. I'm sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You know what she does? She stays right there. And He answers her, not a word. But I want you to see something here. While He is saying nothing, they're right here. Where is He standing? While He's saying nothing, are you hearing me? Somebody help me now. While He is saying nothing, Brother Tom, where is He standing? Right next to her.
Amen.
Somebody said I can't hear Him. Somebody said He's silent. Somebody said He's not answering my prayer. And the devil said He's left you all alone. Well, He may not have said nothing, but look at where He's standing this morning. But look at where He's standing. Thank God. Oh, I'll say it again. You may not have heard from heaven,
name. Oh, don't ignore him. He's not ignoring you. He's just waiting for the right time. Verse 28 is going to get here, friend. I said verse 28 is going to get here. And then Jesus answered. Oh, yes, then the answer came. When I was kneeling there in prayer, the answer came. Oh, bless his name. I'll tell you, friend, he will answer. In his time, he's still standing there. Hallelujah. He may not say a word. But he's still standing there. Don't ignore him. Hallelujah. I wish I had twice the strength I got. And he don't tell me how late I'd preach. Hebrews. Listen, stay near. Stay near. Don't go home. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Stay close by, be diligent. He's not absent just because he's silent. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you two illustrations. It's 12:30 and I'm going to preach till I'm done. Back when Katie was about 2 years old, 3 years old, we went to Disney World. Now all of my hypercritical brethren that get the recording can criticize me for going to Disney World. We went to Disney World. And Sonia and Gracie had gone to ride one of the roller coasters. Katie's too small to get on. And so Daddy and Katie went and we rode the Tomorrowland Transit Authority. Which, if you're not familiar with what that means, it's basically a little bitty ride that you can get on. It just kind of rides you around and lets you see all the other rides you can ride. And it goes real slow and it just kind of rides you all through everything up on top. It's like riding a train, okay? And so we're riding that. But when one of the things that's all the stops it makes, it goes through Space Mountain. In there it is pitch black dark. We go through Space Mountain. She's talking a mile a minute. I know some of you think she never talks. She does. She just don't talk to you. And so she talks. She's talking a mile a minute. And we're going through there. And it gets, all of a sudden we go from the bright daylight sunshine. And all of us, we go in the darkness that is of the Space Mountain. I'm sitting on one side of the seat and she's sitting on the other facing me. I sat there absolutely quiet trying to see what she would do in the dark. And she continued talking to Lolly once. She said, Dad, and I could hear her little lip trembling. I could just hear it in her voice, her little lip trembling voice. She said, Dad, are you there? Dad, I'm scared. It's dark. Are you there, Dad? And I answered her, not a word. Are you hearing me? She said, Dad, I'm scared. Are you there? And I still said nothing, Brother Tom, but I reached across with my hand and put my hand on her lap. She grabbed my hand with her hand and she said, oh, there you are. I said, it's all right now. I was scared. It's dark in here. Oh, I'm going to tell you, sometimes even when he answers, he don't answer a word. Sometimes he just puts his hand on us. Woo! I tell you, when it's dark and when it's scary, when the world seems to be too much and when everything seems like it's weighing on top of you, and you're saying, Lord, I'm scared. And Father, are you there? Is God anywhere around? And he doesn't answer a word. But I'm so glad, Brother Wayman, for the times. He just puts his hand on me. And I don't have to be afraid. He may be silent, but he's not absent. Hallelujah. Come on with a song. F.B. Meyer was a preacher of yesteryear, and he had a family dog. All of y'all knows I don't like inside dogs. I don't like dogs in the house. I don't like a dog. You've got to give him a bath. He ought to be able to give himself a bath. Amen. I like a dog on the outside. A dog's great when you're outside and you're nasty, but when I'm clean, I don't want him nowhere around. And when it comes time to go to bed, I sure enough don't want him nowhere around. And when I want to stay in the bed, that sucker go to barking. He's going to wish he had kept his mouth shut. But FB Meyer liked dogs in the house, preacher man or not. And it comes time for supper. All his family gather around the table, and that old dog would come up under the table, sneak up under the table, go over there to where Brother Meyer was, and put his head quietly upon Brother Meyer's knee. And he'd sneak food off the table, slip it up under the table, and give it to that old dog with his head on his knee. Did that for quite a while, and that, his wife get frustrated with him, tell him, that dog, that's nasty. You feeding that dog, and then you put your hands back in the food to eat, and I don't want him at the table. You're gonna have to, if you don't quit that, he will never quit going. And the dog just come back every meal, and Brother Myers feed him. Finally, his wife said, now I've had enough of that, you're gonna quit that. We're not doing it. And so he said, alright, I won't do it anymore. The next meal time came around, they sat down at the table, that dog slipped up under the table. He put his head back up on Brother Meyer's knee and just sat there quietly. Didn't bark, didn't whine, didn't do anything. When the meal was done, he got nothing to eat. Next meal time come around, the old dog come back, slipped up on the table, put his head back up on that preacher's knee. Still, nothing to eat. Day after day went by, his wife said, don't worry, honey, sooner or later, he'll figure out you're not going to feed him anything. And he'll quit coming. The only reason he's coming is because you feed him. Are you hearing me this morning? But months went by, and day after day, and meal after meal. Finally, the old dog would quit putting his head on his knee, and he'd just slide up real close to him, just lay his head over on his lap, and wouldn't whine, nothing, just lay there with his head in the master's lap. And after a while, Brother Meyer sitting at the kitchen table one night, that old dog come up like that, put his head on his lap, and he just broke down crying. He said, honey, I can't handle it no more. He reached up and took a fork, put it in the meat, cut him off a big old slab of the best meat there was on the table, reached down up under the table, give it to that dog, rubbed him on the head and said, if he's going to keep putting his head in my lap, I'm going to have to give him something to eat. Oh, my, you hearing me? Oh, sometime, he said, it's not for me to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. But she said, Lord, I tell you what I'll do. I'll just keep slipping up under the table. I'll just rest my head in the lap of the master. I'll just keep staying here. If you feed me, I'm coming. If you don't feed me, I'm coming. If you pet me, if you love me, if you embrace me, I'm coming. And if you don't, I'll worship you anyway. And I'm going to trust you that the master knows what's best for me in some of these days. He's not going to give you just a crumb. He'll cut off the best slab of meat on the table and give you just what you need.
You know what you ought to do this morning? Instead of sitting there saying, God, why are you doing this to me? Why is my situation what it is? Why can't I hear from you? You ought to find your place around this altar this morning and say, Lord, I didn't come to get a crumb. I didn't come to get anything off the table. I just want to lay my head in the master's lap and just tell you, no matter how it goes, I love you. And I trust you, and I'm going to believe in you. And if you say yes, if you say no, if you say maybe, and if you say nothing, you're still my Lord, and I'll still believe in you. Stand to your feet if you need to pray this morning. And he answered her not a word. Sing when you're ready. Hello. How about it, friend? Do you need to pray? Folk all over the house coming to these altars, and you need to join them this morning. Time. But thank God it's sometimes.
Hallelujah. It's sometimes. Because he's silent doesn't mean he's absent. Hold on to him. Stay near. He'll break the silence. The silent treatment may be nearing this end, friend. Hallelujah. Oh, and when he speaks, he'll be so glad he did. It'll be worth the wait. It'll be worth the wait when he speaks. Though the master may be silent, just keep crawling to his table. Keep getting at his feet. Humble yourself before him. Rest your weary head on the master. The silence will break. And he'll share with you the best he has from his table divine. The silent Savior will become the speaking Savior. If God is there, then
glad.
He has a track record. Silent. Didn't say a word in that line. No record of where he said anything in the fire. But he was there. He may not have said nothing, but he was there. I've tried to be obedient to the Lord this morning. I wonder about you.
Brother Tom said something walking down the stage and stuck with me the whole service. I'm singing that song. I just did.